What's up, guys? Welcome into Stacking Dubs. Your host, Chris Chin here. It's the night after Game 2 when the Warriors lost to the Rockets. So we'll talk a little bit about the game last night, but I want to look ahead to Game 3. We just got news about an hour ago that Jimmy Butler's MRI came back. I guess we'll call it clean. Just deep glute bruising, no fractures, no structural damage. So best case scenario, he is considered questionable for Saturday's game. I guess let's just talk about it now. So, I mean, obviously the Warriors have another day of rest extra, and, you know, it comes at just the perfect time to have these 2 day breaks in between games. Might hurt us a little bit later on in the playoffs that we got our rest early, but that's beside the point because we need it now, especially for Jimmy Butler, who, you know, I doubt he would have been able to play tomorrow, but Saturday he's got a real chance. And it's just going to come down to pain tolerance. If you've ever had a tailbone bruise or just kind of a bruise near any significant joint, I'm going to have some swelling, but it's just that very deep, dull, aching pain. And, you know, what it's going to loosen up as he attempts to give it a go, and kind of as that body gets warm and the kind of the tissue just heats up and softens up as he warms up. We'll see how much he can move. I am sure they're also going to try to give him some painkillers to deal with the pain. Ultimately, and just knowing how tough Jimmy is, I expect him to play. I'm not a doctor. I don't know how injured he is. I can't feel what he's feeling. He did look pretty compromised walking off the court. But my point being that as long as he is not hindered in terms of, you know, how he's moving, I expect him to play. What extent of explosiveness and, you know, aggressiveness we're going to get out of him, that might be a little compromised. You're probably not going to see him throwing his body around, trying to draw fouls as much, where he's falling to the ground. What does that take away from his game, especially against a physical Rockets team where, you know, I think the Warriors do need to start getting to the free throw line and manufacturing some points. So I don't know that that's necessarily going to be what Jimmy can offer when he does return. But again, I'm optimistic that he can return Saturday. And at the very least, it sounds like he should be back by Monday's game. So even if he misses a game and the Warriors somehow, you know, either steal a win or even if they don't, they're still in the series. And if Jimmy comes back, I would still favor the Warriors, even down 2-1, if that was the case. And I hope that that's not. I guess my point is that the Warriors, you know, despite a tough loss, there are some silver linings here. And again, I'm just playing silver linings, but, you know, it was obviously Pajemski was sick, and we're just going to chalk that up to a loss. So, losing two key rotation players, are basically, other than Steph, our only other two true like playmakers, and that was really the problem against the Rockets. It's just nobody can get downhill, no one can create their own shot or shots for others. And you saw when Pat Spencer came in the game, just a little bit of a determination to get downhill, something that you would hope maybe you'd get a little bit more out of Jonathan Kuminga. But the fact that something like a Pat Spencer was able to come in and just inject some life into an offense that was really sputtered. And it just proves that, hey, the number one objective for this Warriors team is you just need to find a way to get downhill. You need to find a way to kind of put the defense in rotation. Sure, you can get a decent amount of that, and oftentimes enough of that, against a low-scoring Rockets team just by having Steph Curry attracting as much attention as he does. But if this series is going to be more sustainable, and from an offensive standpoint, you're going to need to find someone that can do that. The answer's not Pat Spencer. Sorry, Pat. But maybe he gets a couple flashes in the pan and you give him another shift or two. But I'm looking at Brandon Pajemski. You know, Butler's going to give us some. He's probably going to be limited. Pajemski needs to bounce back in a big way and just provide some dribble penetration, provide some just kind of lane penetration just to create for others, because the Warriors are just getting nothing of it. And that's against, a big Rockets team, but not a team that defends the rim very well. You know, Sengun, big guy, not a good shot blocker. Got to find ways to kind of get into him, get him into foul trouble. He's out guarding Moody on the perimeter a decent amount. So if he's going to be out there, the rim is wide open. It's why you saw Jonathan Kuminga earlier in the season have a lot of success against the Rockets because they just don't have rim protection. And when Kuminga is at his best and is attacking the hoop and is confident and not rusty, that's the type of guy that you need in a matchup like this when just facing a team full of athletes. It's a physical, tough game. You're getting kind of pushed around. You just need to get something going to the rim. I don't know what the heck we're going to get out of Kuminga in this series. It was great to see him play. It was not great to see how he played. It could be expected a lot of the rust. I can understand, I mean, he hit a couple threes, which is encouraging to see, but everything inside the arc, it's just it was forced. It was off balance. I mean, he makes some of those shots in the past, but they're all pretty tough, and he didn't make any of them. Just he seemed like he's kind of floating around out there, right? Just there. Didn't really seem to know where to go a lot of the time. Not very intentional. One possession on defense, he's kind of just getting lost, drifting up the floor. Then he goes to double and trap Şengün in the middle of the key and just fouls him late in the shot clock when Draymond was in front of him. Gets lost again in transition when Gi Santos throws the ball to him kind of at midcourt, and the ball gets stolen because Kuminga wasn't even looking for it. Probably should was in the same place as someone else at the same time too, so probably shouldn't have even been there in the first place. He's just kind of lost. And I hate to say that because I've been one of Kuminga's biggest supporters, and we've seen him at his best. He can really bring a much needed aspect, especially with a hobbled Jimmy Butler. Something that when Kuminga got off the bench, like 20 seconds before that, I said, this has to be Kuminga time. He gives us the one thing that we don't have on the floor with, at that time, our three best players out, four best if you want to consider Pajemski, just no creation, no scoring. It had to be Kuminga time. And I mean, I don't know, you see why he hasn't been playing. Maybe he finds his way into maybe like 10, 12 minutes and has a good shift in the first half, gets some minutes in the second half, and starts to build some more momentum towards getting a spot back as just kind of a bench scorer, and just some athleticism and just maybe some transition, which the Warriors also desperately needed. But my point is, I guess, of all the silver linings tonight, it was good to see Kuminga at least get a chance, and maybe this opens up more opportunity. But he didn't do much with it. And if Jimmy Butler's healthy and playing close to near full minutes, you might not see Kuminga too much at all the next game. Along the same breath, Gi Santos, I did not think was very good last night. I think he played like 10, 11 minutes, had a few pretty bad turnovers, had I think four fouls pretty quickly, and wasn't really hitting shots. I just not a good night. And then GB2, right? All our basically our You want to call them power forward. They're just kind of our wing players off the bench. Nothing in terms of offense. GB2 went scoreless and only played 12 minutes. So you're just not getting anything on that bench spot. I know we're throwing this game away, but my point is, I'm encouraged because even with all of that lack of production from the bench, even with Jimmy Butler out, Steph having a pretty pedestrian game, Draymond having a pretty poor game, and just no one really shooting the ball well other than inside maybe Quentin Post. And I guess Moody was okay and probably should have played more minutes than he did. The point is that the Warriors were in this game, and that's with Jalen Green scoring whatever it was, 38 points. Series preview, looking ahead to that series, we all knew that Jalen Green was going to have a huge game. Hopefully, he doesn't have more than that one huge game. But he's just the type of guy that, he's going to get hot. If he's making his threes and he's just feeling it, there's going to be a game like that. So the fortunate timing was, hey, at least it was the game where we lost everybody, and it was the game that we were playing with house money. And if it was going to happen, that was the game for it to happen. Let's just make sure we can turn off the water on him, turn off the faucet on him. But yeah, I guess again, the silver lining is, hey, they might not get as efficient or a high scoring game out of him. And even with all that said, the Warriors really weren't out of hand in this game. It felt like they were never going to win, but they kept it within a dozen for the most part. And there's a few breaks here, a few breaks there, and you just never know what could happen. You could have stolen this one. So I think that, hey, now that we've avoided the worst case scenario, knowing that Jimmy was going to miss, I'd say, a game at most, and then be back, knowing that, hey, Pajemski should be back, knowing that the bench has to play better at home, knowing that, hey, we're going home now tied 1-1. You're going to get some home court life. The one thing that scared me is, hey, you go up 2-0 in Houston, and then you return home and you kind of just lay a stinker in that first game at home. And now you're just, I mean, sure, you're up 2-1, but it's just like, hey, like, well, where's this home court advantage? And we've seen the Warriors kind of struggle at home over the last couple of years and just kind of just cakewalk. And, we're at home and just the intensity's not quite there. And you're just getting complacent because you think you're at home, especially the first game of a homestand. So I don't think we're going to deal with that because the Warriors are going to come out hungry in this one. Draymond Green is coming off of a third place finish for DPOY. I think most of you share the same thoughts as me. I think he is just the best defender every single season just because of what he does in terms of versatility. He's like the one guy in the league that can guard 1 through 5, very successfully. Sure, he doesn't guard, huge 7-footers quite as well as someone that's bigger than him. That might be his only, not even a weakness, but just not what he does best. Interesting stat is that he's the number one in the NBA at rim deterrence, which is essentially a stat of, I think, just kind of like opponent's field goal percentage at the rim, when he's like the closest defender, and then also just kind of deterring shots from even being taken in there. And at 6'6", that's ridiculous. Of all the great shot blockers in the league, for him to be number one in that stat at his size, knowing that he can also guard the perimeter, knowing that everything else that he does on both ends of the floor, knowing that at his size, he's also a great defensive rebounder and captaining and basically doing everybody's job for them on that side of the ball. That's why he should be the DPOY more than at least once, more than Rudy Gobert, who is basically getting played off the floor in the last game and just getting taken out of key moments and just getting torched by Luka and the Lakers. And yet he has 4 DPOYs. But, anyways, I'm digressing. My point is Draymond Green should and will be first team all defense, but he deserved a bit better fate. But tip of the hat to Evan Mobley. They played well all season long, as did he. But this, in my opinion, I mean, I watched obviously way more Warriors, but I think the things that Draymond Green does not show up to most of the voters that just watch highlights, watch highlight blocks, and all they see from Draymond is just the antics, which I guess it's fair. It's the reputation you build for yourself, and that's just the price you pay. So anyway, I think Draymond Green's going to come out hungry in this game, and you're going to get a top-level Draymond Green game. How many times have we seen Steph have a pedestrian game, and then the next game he just comes out and just destroys and drops 30-plus points? So I think what my prediction would be for game three is Jimmy Butler plays. I think the Warriors get off to a fast start. They get off to a game playing high level defense, control what you can control, just get after it, be disruptive on defense. Trust that the Rockets and Jalen Green aren't just going to hit all these turnaround fades and step back threes. The one consistent matchup that I thought the Rockets, it was pretty good for them and that it could still kind of prevail throughout the series, is if Quinton Post, who again played well and earned his minutes, is playing defense and getting switched onto Jalen Green. That was a tough matchup, but most of the time Green just kind of sat on that step back, and he shot it well from three. But there's a very, very decent chance that I think he shoots at like a 34% clip on the season. Go ahead, shoot that, and we start making it, we'll figure something out. But I think the law of averages knows that Dylan Brooks isn't going to hit all these turnaround fades. I mean, Van Vliet might keep shooting how he's shooting, even though he probably should come up a little bit. But we're going to just trust our defense to turn off the faucet on the Rockets, much like game one. And then, a little bit of that offense should start to trickle back as our guys get healthy and we have more playmakers and ball handlers. And Steve Kerr makes the adjustments needed. And he does that better than any other coach that I've seen in the last decade or so, especially in the playoffs. Let's see. Anything else we kind of missed? I think that's about it. We will talk to you on Saturday. I am predicting a Warriors comfortable win in a game where we're going to be reinvigorated, knowing that this team is true contenders. And you're going to be, rather than just like kind of a two-man show, you're going to see that this team does have depth. This team can make shots. I swear this team can make some shots. They're not great shooting, overall outside of Steph, but they can make shots. They can get hot, especially at home, playing in front of a nice, hopefully rowdy crowd, not quite roar full, but a playoff crowd in an even series, in a very chippy series that, hey, as things get chippy, I'd rather be at home. So let's get it done, guys. Come out hot, and let's just keep our eye on Jimmy Butler, because ultimately that's what matters most at this point. All right. Until after Saturday, you guys have a good one. I've been Christian. Do me a favor, hit like, hit subscribe, follow me, and I will talk to you next time. And until then, peace, love, and stacking dubs.